Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative, and United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week is New York Department of Environmental Conservation Interim Commissioner Sean Mahar. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Sean is a graduate of Siena College, and he helps lead the agency's environmental protection and natural resource conservation efforts. Prior to becoming the Executive Deputy Commissioner in 2022, Sean was Chief of Staff, overseeing external agency affairs and operations and guiding implementation of key agency priorities. We call that the secret in charge around here. Sean, you know where everything is and how it's working. We're talking about advancing state and federal conservation policies, building support for wildlife conservation initiatives, climate change adaptation strategies. We'll talk to him about that. Sean, also an adjunct professor at Siena College, teaching a course on environmental policy and management. What an important subject to be teaching today. DEC Interim Commissioner Sean Mahar joins us. Welcome to the Capital Connection.
Thanks so much for having me on, Dave.
I am pleased to have you. I'm sorry I haven't had you on yet. I'm just glad we were able to get you in this week. Obviously, the summertime, lots of people outside enjoying New York State. I just want to start with a story that I aired this week from North Country Public Radio's Emily Russell on your forest rangers that are out there. There was a rescue a day this past week. We had some wild weather. We had even tornadoes. And I just referenced climate change, but the idea that there are a lot of elements here for the interim commissioner of the Department of Conservation to talk about with those three elements.
Well, this job is never dull, Dave, I'll tell you that much. There's always something going on in the state that DEC is involved in. It's an amazing and incredible agency to work for and work with. We have a great team, and obviously the governor is very committed to environmental protection across the state, and you know, one of her key initiatives now is get offline and get outside. So she's really taking that mantle of encouraging kids, families, adults, everyone to really recreate responsibly outside, and that really helps alleviate some of the pressure on our forest rangers for search and rescues. And that's why we put a lot of tips on our website about how to hike smart, hike safe in New York this summer as you're getting outside. Remember your sunscreen, remember to wear appropriate footwear. And that really alleviates some of the pressure that we see on our forest rangers for search and rescue operations around the state. But yes, they are busy. It is a busy time of year, but it's a busy time of year all year round for our rangers and our environmental conservation officers. And you know, our rangers in particular are obviously, you know, on the front lines of protecting public safety when it comes to the outdoor recreating public and the Adirondacks, Catskills, and all throughout the state. They're amazing folks. Right now, I just saw off 20 of them who are headed out to Montana and Oregon to help fight wildfires. You know, people think of forest rangers as just the search and rescue operations that they do, but they are the state's wildland firefighters, and they're the ones on the front lines anytime there's a wildfire in the state. They're out there containing it, fighting it, making sure that New Yorkers are protected. And it's some of the coolest work that they do. And it was really great to see them off from the Albany airport once they finally got on their way. Had a little snafu last Friday with a certain little global issue that happened. But
a little bit of a software issue,
little
glitch.
Bit. And they got caught in that. But, you know, they're right now in Montana and Oregon really helping the teams out there fight those wildfires. So, you know, our rangers and environmental conservation officers, some of the best folks in the state of New York are working on public safety issues.
Yeah, and not just in New York State. You know, you're helping other states as they often help us when we have needs as well. Now, what does it take to become a forest ranger, Sean Mahar?
Well, it's great you should ask, because actually the exams right now, you can sign up, and the exams are going to be hosted this fall where you can get on the list to become the next forest ranger or environmental conservation police officer. So we have information on our website. There are study guides in advance. So you have to sign up soon to make sure you meet the deadline to have the opportunity to take this test. And then after you take the test and get scored, then you would get selected for our training courses. And we have them regularly. We actually have two going on right now, one for our rangers and one for our ECOs. So we're training the next generation of our forces here.
What's an ACO?
Oh, ECO, Environmental Conservation Officer.
What's the difference?
So a forest ranger works for forest protection, right? They're the ones that you see out in the backcountry. They're doing the search and rescues and wildland firefighters. Our ECOs, or Environmental Conservation Officers, are our police officers that you see. They're out on boats on the Hudson River. They're checking fishing licenses. They're monitoring spills and responding to wildlife crimes and crimes of pollution across the state.
Do they do the controlled burns?
That's our forest rangers.
Okay, that's back to the rangers.
Yep. Rangers and ECOs. So Environmental Conservation Police Officers, one arm of DC. That's our law enforcement. And then our forest rangers are our forest protectors.
I imagine there's some kind of boot camp for the forest rangers, yes?
Oh, both of them, yeah. They both have lengthy training courses and academies that are underway, very much like your state police or your corrections officers. They receive the same training as state police do, except they are state police officers, both forest rangers and ECOs, but they get specialized training in search and rescue operations and wildlife firefighting or environmental crimes. And that's really how they differentiate between state police.
One of the coolest things about it, and I think you might have been referencing that when you talked about the rangers, is their equipment. There are some machines, some mountain, I don't even know how to describe them, four-wheel devices. I've seen them that they don't look like anything we have on a commercial road.
All our secrets.
Well, you know, the people of New York need to know this. It's so great that if they're stuck in a wilderness location, there are a number of ways and a number of pieces of technology used to get to them. And I imagine even now drones are very valuable for you guys.
We use every tool that we can in the toolbox as part of our operations across the state. And that's really what we bring to New Yorkers. And we're constantly working with our forces to understand what they need to succeed out there and what is going to make their jobs easier. Because these are not easy jobs when you think about it. You're hiking hours into the woods in the backcountry to find someone and then hiking hours out to carry them out. You know, obviously we coordinate with state police and sometimes we can do aerial rescues, but sometimes we can't because of the weather conditions. And that is more on the rangers themselves to, you know, assist with those backcountry carryouts. So we're always looking at what the new equipment is. We do have some cool toys, I've got to admit. They haven't let me try them all out yet. I'm on a mission here to make sure that I get to test all this stuff out. But it's really cool to see how they use it, how they respond, and what they're able to
accomplish. All right, come on, Sean Mahar, Interim DEC Commissioner. Tell us a story about that. Draw that picture. Put a face on it for us of a rescue that was done using one of these pieces of incredibly innovative equipment.
It's so hard to pick just one, Dave, because it's so different depending on the season and what you're facing. I truly think my favorite story of all time is not one where they used equipment, but you may remember when there was a skier on Whiteface that went missing.
Yes.
In the winter, probably 5-6 years ago now. You know, our rangers, very adverse conditions. You're talking middle of winter, you're talking blizzard conditions. We had 40-50 rangers at a time leading volunteer search parties all over the mountainside. You know, they're using snowmobiles, they're using all the tools that they can. Turns out 5 days later, this guy shows up in California on the other coast.
I remember. Yeah, now I completely remember this story.
It was such a fascinating story. And like, I'll never forget our ranger director who came up and he'd been keeping me, you know, up to date every day. And the look on his face is like, you're not going to believe this, Sean.
And I don't remember how that happened. He got down the mountain somehow.
Yeah,
right?
I think he had a concussion and was disoriented. He got picked up by a tractor trailer driver who was just like, he thought the guy was a hitchhiker and drove him across the country.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you don't have any tractor trailers in your arsenal, do you?
We actually have dump trucks. We do have some smaller tractor trailers. Our operations crew across the state, like, you know, we're taking care of hundreds of campgrounds throughout the Adirondacks and Catskills. That's a lot of equipment and things to move. Our Division of the Lands and Forests, with the backcountry work they do, with building the lean-tos that you stay in if you're in the Adirondacks, or tent camping sites, you know, they're taking care of them. So they have to bring all the materials and equipment all over the state. And then you think about our fish hatcheries and our network of fish hatcheries. We have some really cool trucks and devices that we use to transport fish all across the state and undertake our stocking exercises that we do.
I keep coming back to, you were talking about Governor Hochul's effort to get cell phones and social media out of the schools and kids getting outside. And, You know, that really is one of the aspects of the Department of Environmental Conservation and your pitch to New Yorkers is that it's a mental health, you know, respite. You get to go out and observe the beautiful areas of New York State from one end to the other. There are just so many beautiful things to see and to experience. And that helps you connect to the earth, to each other, and to have a genuine human experience in a way that social media doesn't help you do.
Yeah, time in nature, it can't be understated how important it is to your health overall. There are many different studies that are coming out that are showing that, you know, time outside, time in nature, time in forests really does help reduce your stress, really helps give you, you know, a better well-rounded aspect on, you know, your mental health overall. And it's just so important for your health. I mean, you're talking about exercise, right? Because you're hiking, you're walking, you're being active. And that's why it's really awesome to have the governor really champion this Get Offline and Get Outside initiative overall and really put that emphasis on these really affordable opportunities that we have. Like, it doesn't cost money to go outside and take a hike in any DEC preserves or really any of the local nature preserves that you have. There are plenty of opportunities to get out and enjoy. And what we have on our website at DEC and our social media is really trying to promote that affordability aspect of what we have to offer the state from the fishing opportunities, right? It's not that expensive to get a fishing license and go out and get a pole and just partake in any one of the awesome, you know, ponds, lakes, rivers, streams that we have in the state. Like, you can fish anywhere in New York. It's amazing. And there are just so many recreation opportunities. We're blessed here in this listening area, especially too with the Hudson River that really unites us to the Adirondacks, to the Catskills, like you name it. This listening area has so many wonderful opportunities.
Oh, and the Helderbergs up there at the escarpment there. You can walk under a waterfall. You can do that Indian Ladder Trail and
experience
the parks and lakes up there like Warner's Lake and others. There really is, not far from major cities, especially upstate, a lot of outdoor activity that'll make you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere.
Definitely. But I'll say, too, even in the city of Albany and Schenectady, yeah. Troy, the local parks there are some of the most amazing places in the capital region for bird watching.
But this is where it's important, because we're talking also in your agency, the Department of Environmental Conservation, Sean Mahar, about protecting the environment, about conserving the environment.
Well, I think both go hand in hand, you know, and you have to look at it in sort of that dual approach, right? Protecting and conservation, you know, right now protection is, right, buying the open space that's on the market, you know, looking at how we're growing the network of protected areas that we have. And then the conservation work really relies on our fish and wildlife experts, our lands and forest experts, our people who know natural resource conservation to come in and figure out what management activities have to happen on these lands that we protect and buy. You know, that's from managing for invasive species to looking at the composition of the forests and how we manage for the health of the forests overall. What are the type of species that depend on it? And what do we want to see this look like over time? So, you know, I think both preservation and conservation go hand in hand. And that's really the approach that we take at DEC to our work.
How much open space have we conserved in New York? Do you have a number?
I'd have to get back to you on the specific number, but we're talking millions of acres all over the state.
And what is the biggest space, the Adirondack Park?
Well, one of the biggest. And what I do as I get around the state here and go to each of our different regions, DEC has 9 regional offices across the state. And, you know, our central New York region, Region 7, as it's called, runs from the Pennsylvania border all the way up to Lake Ontario. And the number of acres that they have protected there from all the different forests, state forests and wildlife management areas, is actually almost equal to all the land that we've protected in the Adirondack Park.
Wow.
People don't think about how big New York actually is.
It is a very large state.
But you go to some of these communities in the Adirondacks, Catskills, in central New York, we own the majority of land in many of these towns. It's fascinating. Like, we are the largest landowner in some of these areas. And, you know, obviously we work very closely with our local government partners. We want to make sure they know what we're doing on their land and how we're trying to attract and bring people to their communities and the economic importance of that overall.
We're hearing already now another fire season is upon us. We see in the West, those fires are raging. And one of the things that we had to experience last summer was these sort of bluish haze or reddish haze of smoke coming in from Canadian wildfires. But I noted at the time that you folks in the DEC were very well aware of it. There were fires burning right here in New York in forested areas. So talk about that a little bit and how that may have be changing for us in the Northeast.
Yeah, most people don't think of New York as being a forest fire state, but we are. We are very susceptible to wildfires, and that's why we very much take a proactive approach to the way in which we manage forests. You know, here in the Albany area, Albany Pine Bush is a prime example of where we use prescribed fire to reduce fire risk overall. You know, a lot of these ecosystems in the state, from the Pine Barrens to the Pine Bush, they're fire dependent. Like the plant species that grow in these places need fire to actually complete their life cycle. So what we do is come in and reduce fire risk by doing prescribed burns and making that management and those management activities happen on these sites. So, you know, very much, you know, we encourage, and that's why we have an annual burn ban in the state from March 14th to May 16th. It's a prime time in the season where the snow is melting, things are drying out, you've got a lot of dead branches and leaf litter, and that's why we encourage people not to burn during those times, because that's one of the prime seasons for wildfires in New York.
How do you catch them? Now, do you have satellite imagery you can look at to zero down on people who have maybe lit fire? Fire watchers, is that still something that goes on in forests?
A lot of it is word of mouth. A lot of it is, average everyday New Yorker seeing something happen and calling our rangers or environmental conservation police officers to go investigate a case of burning.
And if you call a local police officer, will they know to call the rangers? Is that how that would work too, if you can't remember to call the rangers?
Typically, we have good relationships with the state police and local police officers around the state. Each of our rangers and ECOs are assigned to specific zones, and those zones intersect with some of those local police jurisdictions, and they develop a lot of good relationships with local fire departments, local police agencies. We've got really good connectivity, and that's really what helps our jobs overall in responding to these issues. But during the spring season, my phone is always going off with the daily fire reports that we get from, you know, a small little half acre, you know, a campfire that got out of control to something larger from a lightning strike. And, you know, we've got acres of a forest burning, but our rangers are there responding, working with the local fire departments to get the control underway, and it's really amazing to watch them work. We've got some cool videos online that Jeff and others have really put together here that tell that story.
Well, this would be the time to give them the website, how to get there, because there's so much information there, including what we were previously talking about. You know, we mentioned one of the horror stories that ended well, but, you know, even tips, maps, hiking guides, you know, what to do when you're on a hike, how to plan for it. You've got all that information on your website.
Yeah, dec.ny.gov is your gateway into all the things that DEC has to offer. And Dave, you know, we've talked a lot about different things here, but, you know, even Smoky Skies, right, from last year, many people don't think about the air quality meteorologists that we have on staff at DEC who are monitoring that. We've made such tremendous progress in improving air quality in the state. And, you know, I think it was a good reminder, an unfortunate reminder last year with the wildfire smoke that we saw, because people saw these hazy skies and like, wow, you know, what's going on here? But they take for granted all the work that went underway, because that's what New York used to look like before we had emissions controls, before we did all the regulations we did. And that's really our Air Resources Division that has really pioneered and piloted a lot of that work and made that progress.
Well, you know, the thing you mentioned earlier, invasives, that's something that is a result of climate change. You know, the woolly adelgid or Didymo, or, you know, all the things our Pat Bradley reports on out of the North Country. But it's true. I mean, there are no real lines or walls between states.
No.
And as the temperature changes, birds migrate, insects move, all sorts of things are happening. And of course, we carry these things with us when we travel often.
Yeah. And that's why on our website, dec.ny.gov, especially when it comes to invasive species, we give a lot of tips that folks can use to either, if you're a recreational boater, clean, drain, and dry your boats. Like, that is the simplest way to help stop the spread of invasive species from lakes to lakes when it comes to our aquatics. Washing off your boots after hiking. Like, you don't want to hike from one location and go to the next, because you may carry seeds or something that can be transported elsewhere. Our website just has a lot of information about what average everyday New Yorkers and your listeners can do to be good environmental stewards. It doesn't just start with, you know, making sure you're recycling at home. This is really, you know, your day-to-day activities can have a big impact, especially on the spread of invasive species. And we have a lot underway right now. Spotted lanternfly is one that's, you know, really, high on the radar screen. We just had a new detection happen in Western New York in our wine country. And this species can be very devastating to the grape industry. So, you know, we mobilize very quickly with our state partners, our local partners, our federal partners, whenever we have a new detection of a species, and really make sure we're working to contain it as best as we can.
We're speaking with Sean Mahar, New York Department of Environmental Conservation Interim Commissioner. Sean, of course, all of this work takes bodies on the ground. And one of the problems that we've often noted, not just with the Department of Environmental Conservation, but with any agency, even in media, we're losing them now, is bodies on the ground doing the work. And I imagine it's a never-ending effort, and you could always use a few more people on the ground helping you with the variety of things you need to do at this agency.
Well, the governor has been very committed to DEC, and it's been a pleasure to work with her on really explaining our needs and really make sure that we're putting the people in the right places to advance the work that we have to do. You know, in the prior year's budget, she's increased the number of staff at DEC, really allowing us to bring on the people that we need to implement the Environmental Bond Act in the state. So we've got $4.2 billion that we're putting on the street for environmental conservation work, and we're staffing up in that program.
You got to it before I could ask. It's right here on the list. So that's $4.2 mind meld. $4.2 billion you get to play with here. Now, come on, give us some.
It's an incredible opportunity.
Yeah. Now, how is that? How do you get together and decide how that's going to be distributed?
Well, very transparently. And right now, for each of the categories that we're spending money on, we have to put out guidelines and criteria for what the types of projects that we're going to finance and, the types of things that we're going to look at, and really explaining how people can apply. So pay attention to our website, pay attention to the environmental notice bulletin. We're putting out a lot of information on a regular basis and taking comments from New Yorkers to make sure that we're structuring these programs in the right way. It's been really great to work with this growing team, and, you know, we're already starting to see money go out. There's money for electric school buses going out. We've got wastewater infrastructure money that we're already putting on the street. And it's an incredible opportunity to really reshape New York. And I'm very excited about this overall.
Now, we're trying to meet a climate goal, right? New York has set a climate goal. Most of the climate goals that most of the states have set, they've all said, well, probably not going to meet them. But the question I'm asking you is, when you're making these decisions about where to focus this money, is part of this on what will lower the temperature the most or take the most fossil fuel out of the atmosphere? Or, I mean, how do you calculate? Is that part of the calculation?
Well, it's a balance, right? Because if you have to look first at what the legislature passed in the law of the Bond Act itself, and there are very specific priorities. Emissions reduction is a priority. Climate resilience is a priority. So as the climate is changing and we're seeing more intense and frequent rainstorms, we need to make our communities more resilient to that.
So we're talking infrastructure on one level and literally emissions reduction on the other.
Exactly. So we're really
a combination.
Taking $4.2 billion and spreading this as far and wide as we can to make the biggest impact on New York that we can for our emissions reduction strategies overall. And David, you mentioned the goals, and you know, the goals are the focus. Like everything we do, all the work that we're doing is centered around achieving those goals.
Remind us, because I can't remember the year. Was it by 2040 or by 2050 or 2030? What's the goal?
Different goals that have been established over time for different things. You've got 70 by 30 for electrification of our grid. You've got 85 by 50, which is the overall goal of what we're striving towards.
So, and what's the 85?
85% reduction in emissions by 2050, which is where all the leading climate scientists and others say we need to get to really stave off the warming levels that we're seeing on the horizon right now. So everything we're doing is with those goals in mind, and there are interim goals along the way. Everyone gets focused on, are you going to meet this date? Are you going to meet this date? What we do is really look at not so much the date, but what the goal is and how we need to get there. And we're full steam ahead on all the different programs, really working across the board with our colleagues at NYSERDA, Public Service Commission, and others to really make sure that we're working as a team to achieve these goals.
He is Sean Mahar, the Interim Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation in New York. I'm David Gustina, and you're listening to The Capital Connection from WAMC Northeast Public Radio. We, of course, have the unfortunate reality of pollution, of dumping illegally, of just littering among our humans who can't seem to find the garbage pail. But when we end up with brownfields, when we end up with polluted sites that not only impact the communities where they are, but stop progress in terms of development or other things that a community might do, you know, what are we doing about the pollution that's out there? How is the DEC getting at that issue?
Well, multifaceted, I would say. And we started this segment, David, talking about our environmental conservation police officers and forest rangers. When it comes to illegal dumping, our ECOs are really the front lines of capturing or catching those polluters. You know, they do sting operations. They find the illegal dumping activities like, you know, Hudson Valley. We've seen a lot. You see a lot of, construction and demolition debris being inappropriately disposed in places in the Hudson Valley and others. dumpsters. So our ECOs are there catching those dumpers and really holding them accountable. And we've made some good progress on that. But really it comes down to personal stewardship. And, you know, our website is a great place to start with just the tips and tricks and things that you need. Our materials management division and the folks that are working on recycling and waste management issues overall, they're so passionate about, you know, wanting to help New Yorkers really achieve those goals. They're looking at different policies, you know, extended producer responsibility and different initiatives to really reduce the amount of waste we have overall. But when it comes to personal stewardship, they're there explaining people how to recycle and, you know, how to make improvements. We're actually going to have them on our DEC podcast coming up. DEC does what?
And he's got his own podcast, yet he's doing our show. You see that?
Exactly. This is the warm-up for the podcast today. But no, we wanted to, you know, I'll just say, just not to plug the podcast, but, you know, I think as you're alluding to, right, DEC is so wide, deep, and broad across the state. Like, we touch New Yorkers every day in different ways, in some way. And we just want to tell the stories there. And we appreciate WAMC, you know, giving our staff the opportunity to come on and talk about things. WAMC does a really great job of helping us tell the story, and what we want to do is continue to find different ways of telling that DEC story.
Well, the true value of media is informing people about what's around them, what's closest to them, what will affect their lives by taking part in the activities they may not have known about before. Now, in this case, it's 7,000 lakes and streams, 52,000 miles of rivers and streams, and you go from there. I appreciate all your candor. I have one more question. You know, we saved the toughest question for last.
Always.
So, you know, we saw Governor Hochul pause the congestion pricing, which could be argued as an environmental plan. That stirred some dissent among some of the ranks. And of course, some of the folks who are outside of the city would have to commute in and pay the $15. But that then spurred some other environmental legislation to be put to the side and not decided on, like the New York Heat Act. And I'm wondering, were you disappointed in that? Are you confident we'll get back to this at some point? What was your feeling at the end of session after that went down?
Well, I think generally, you know, what you get from this governor is an approach to governance of looking at the people first. And, you know, how are the laws and rules and regulations going to impact them, especially in their pocketbooks, and making sure that the laws that we're advancing and the policies that we're advancing are affordable for New Yorkers. And she's one to say, let's always reevaluate. We have to take a look and be adaptable over time as conditions change and things change. Our policies have to adapt with those changes. And sometimes you have to take that fresh look. So that's really what you're getting from this governor. And that's what I take to DEC to say, you know, we're going in this direction. Is this really the right direction that we need to go in at this time? Or should we reevaluate, pivot, change certain things? So we're constantly just reevaluating that to make sure we're doing it right for New Yorkers.
It's been a pleasure. Sean Mahar, the New York Department of Environmental Conservation Interim Commissioner, dec.ny.gov. Go there. Check it out. Find a place to go visit in this beautiful state of ours.
And I'll just say, David, dec.ny.gov, that's just your first launching pad. Our social media, you know, our Facebook, our Twitter.
It's all there.
Instagram.
It's all there, kids.
So many opportunities to get in touch with DEC and see what we're doing.
Thanks so much. I hope we'll see you out on the trail.
Hope to get you out there, too.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.